Hi, and welcome to our Pensions Age podcast. I'm Laura Blows, editor of Pensions Age, and joining me today to discuss how the bulk annuity market is changing and how this may affect trustees looking to de-risk their scheme in 2022 and beyond are two returnees to our podcast, Just DB Business Development Managers, Prash Mehta and Pete Jennings. So hello again, Prash.
Hi there, Laura. Good to be back.
Thank you. And welcome back, Pete.
Hi, Laura.
So Prash, Pete, to start with, perhaps you could give me your thoughts on how 2021 has been for the bulk annuity market. I mean, after the years of record volumes in 2019 and 2020, it feels that the market has cooled somewhat this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, okay. So I think it's important to reflect on 2021 before we move on to 2022. And 2021 has turned out to be a story of two halves, really. The industry has had a relatively quiet H1 with circa £7 billion written, and most of the legwork has had to be done in H2 to achieve what is expected to be £25 billion to £30 billion year. Reflecting on why H1 has turned out to be so quiet, we've put it down to a couple of reasons. The first and main reason is plainly a hangover from the initial lockdown of COVID-19, which has caused a bottleneck at the end of 2020, with making consultancies very busy on the number of projects that they've had to close before the end of the year. And what that's effectively meant, a lot of the preparation and planning for new opportunities to come to market has had to wait until the start of 2021.
Okay, so you mentioned that 2021 was a year of two halves, but what do you expect to see for 2022 and beyond that, perhaps, say, the next few years or so?
I think that's a key point, Laura. I agree with everything Prash said there. The main thing I'd add is that if there'd been another two or three mega £1 billion plus deals, then we might be considering 2021 very differently. I think it's fair to say we were certainly busy, even during half one. It's just deals were slightly smaller. What we have found is that the lower volume of projects coming to market in half one made for a very competitive environment amongst insurers. It wasn't uncommon for five or six insurers to be competing for a deal, even in the £30 to £50 million range, which is the smaller end of things. Conversely, I think this has led to a bit of a perfect storm for smaller deals in the second half of the year. I'd imagine most insurers would probably be slightly behind where they'd wanted to be at the end of H1. And when you combine this with the market really taking off in H2 with a plethora of cases, but while not mega deals, are certainly material in the sort of £100 million to £1 billion range, it's not a massive surprise that the larger cases are where the focus has been for insurers, because that is how they will make up lost ground from H1. It won't be with the smaller cases. Of course, as ever, there are exceptions where schemes are so well prepared that there's basically no data cleanse and they might be happy to work exclusively with a single insurer. They can probably still attract some interest, but I expect for a majority of smaller schemes it would have been a hard second half of the year.
So Pete, it sounds to me like you're saying that it was a year of two halves, if you will, with smaller schemes seeing increased focus from insurers at the start of the year before attention then moved back to larger schemes for the latter part. So does this mean that we can start hearing mega deal announcements again from early next year? And actually, beyond that, what do you expect for the future of the bulk annuity market, say over the next few years or so?
I think you'll find it hard-pressed to find an EBC consultancy marketship report which suggests risk transfers, buyers, buyouts are in decline. Without exception, they're all quite bullish about future volumes. Most are predicting that a market will write somewhere between 30 and 40 billion, or even up to 50 billion a year for the next 5 years. There might clearly be some variation outside this range, but if anything, on balance, the expectation is it will spike above the 40 billion rather than undershoot the £30 billion range. I can say from our experience, the early indications of the pipelines we're seeing from RFQs, request for quote, excuse me, that are landing now for transactions in the first half of next year is already looking much larger than the equivalent in 2021. Beyond this period, the next 4 or 5 years, expectation is it's going to increase even further, to average over £50 billion a year. I think the one caveat we must be mindful of is that the same consultancies were all pretty bullish this time last year as well, so clearly it remains to be seen what will actually happen. One thing I do hope is, that doesn't go unnoticed, is the near universal resilience. Well, I think it pretty much is universal resilience, but insurers have shown through COVID, whether it's strictly speaking one of a 1 in 200 year events, I'm not sure, but it's certainly been an extreme event by any definition. Speaking for Just, we've actually increased our solvency capital ratio over the period quite significantly. So if I were a trustee, it would actually reassure me to see the much vaunted regulatory regime being put for its paces in practice.
So those estimates actually suggest that the market will exceed the 2019 record that was set. But what do you think will be driving this growth, and what type of schemes will therefore be coming to the market?
There are a few factors which are driving the estimates that Pete just mentioned. I mean, the obvious one is that funding levels of most DB pension schemes have consistently been improving over the last few years, driven by a heavier focus on liability and cash flow driven investment strategies and just generally better hedging strategies. I guess the other point to add is less obvious is that there's less than 30% of pension schemes with more than £1 billion in liability that have actually done any kind of longevity de-risking transactions at all, meaning that there's a lot of scope for more mega deals to come to the market, which we expect there'll be more of in 2022. And then there's things like the closure of DB schemes to new entrants and future accrual, which has meant that schemes are maturing a lot more quicker. And the profile of UK DB schemes shows that the trajectory is that buy-in and buy-out volumes will increase each year going forward. I mean, beyond this, we do expect that PPF plus transactions will increase in number in 2022. I mean, we've seen a few this year caused by the pandemic, but we expect the majority of those to come out of the PPF assessment next year, looking to carry out PPF plus transactions. But it's not only because of the pandemic that we're getting more PPF plus cases. Brexit and supply chain issues have had a contributory factor, as well as increases in energy costs as well, which are hitting a lot of businesses financially. And then the last thing that I wanted to touch on is what the anatomy of most of the deals are looking like these days. And what we do continue to see is a lot more requests to secure full scheme liabilities, i.e. buyouts. And with that, there have been an increase in the number of requests for things like residual risks cover, where insurers are being asked to take on additional risks other than the traditional longevity and financial risks. We've been asked for cover for AVCs and DC pots as well, as well as the request for deferring the payment of the premium to deal with potential trapped surpluses or schemes which are invested in certain illiquid holdings.
Okay, so it's great to hear how the market is growing and adapting, and that's increasing number of schemes are managing to take risk off the table. But of course, insurers only have so much capacity to take on this risk. So what would you suggest trustees and sponsors do to make their scheme stand out from the crowd?
So firstly, I think it's really important to have a firm handle on how well funded you are relative to your objectives. We are living through volatile times and things can change quickly, which can certainly present opportunities, but you can only take those if you know they exist. I think most consultancies will offer good estimates as to where you are against buyout funding to a reasonable degree of accuracy. However, once you start getting within close range, say 10%, I would suggest seeking insurer pricing if you can get it.
And that's the key concern, I imagine, for schemes, the cost of implementing a buyout. Is insurer pricing accessible for many schemes?
Well, indicative pricing is certainly something we offer on a no-strings basis for precisely this reason. We even call it somewhat mundanely a feasibility quotation. So feel free to pick up the phone or get in touch if you'd like one of those. I think the point is I've been involved in a couple of cases this year that have gone nowhere because the consultancy estimate had undercut the liabilities significantly. And I've also been involved in several where the trustee and sponsor were expecting to have to fund a deficit and ended up with a sizable surplus. The thing I think trustees can learn is that understanding a good result is getting your liabilities insured at a good price. It's not attracting a certain number of insurers, although it can be linked. One deal we did in the first half of this year involved a target price based on a deficit the sponsor was willing to fill. And we did some price monitoring for that scheme, firstly monthly. And as it got closer, we moved to weekly monitoring. We only did insurer, sorry, involved in this process, but still the scheme managed to hit its objectives and get liabilities insured at a good price. And the final thing I would say, and I know it's horrendously cliched, but be prepared, because for every ill-prepared project, there's always a prepared one ready to take your place instead.
Yeah, it's certainly important to have a strong and clear auction process, but also to be flexible at the same time. And I mean, that advice might sound conflicted. Let me clarify that a little bit more. I mean, you need to show, or trustees need to show, that they have a clear process and a good decision-making governance structure in place so that insurers have the confidence that a transaction is highly likely. But in an industry with large transactions that can take up a lot of human and capital resource, a scheme that is flexible in the timing of the transaction might be able to secure a keener price. And then beyond that, it's understanding what your real requirements from the transaction are. I mean, this should ultimately be focused on the risks that the trustees want to remove, and not only focused on what kind of yield above gilts they're getting. So if it's just economic and demographic risk removal, then that's effectively the basics. That's what a bulk purchase annuity cover does. But if trustees are concerned about the insurance regime or data issues within their scheme, missing beneficiaries or errors in the benefit provision, then insurers have solutions for those as well. My only advice there is effectively items above the basic level of cover take longer to insure, and they can put insurers off at times as well. So unless trustees really need that level of cover, then we'd suggest a quick discussion on those points with insurers rather than asking for them formally in request for quotes.
Okay, so just look at the bigger picture here. As the bulk annuity market continues to grow, both with the return of mega deals and the market driving towards its estimated £50 to £90 billion potential, what will this mean generally for the nature of the market? What would you say trustees should be aware of, for instance?
The first thing to recognise is that there's a limit on the number of transactions that the 8 insurers that offer bulk purchase annuities can actually write. I mean, the average number of annual transactions completed in the industry is around about 150. So one thing that is for sure, that if we're ever going to get up to those levels, we're not going to do it by increasing the number of circa £100 million deals in the market. So it naturally tends to mean that there's going to be a larger annual volume that's going to be coming from mega multi-billion pound transactions. Now, that might be either lots of mega deals, mega transactions, or there could be some really heavyweight, very large record-breaking mega deals out there to be done in the years to come.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd add to that is that I think we need more initiatives from insurers, consultancies, to accommodate the smaller schemes, because I think they will get squeezed in the market of this size.
Right, Pete, Prash, there's clearly plenty here for trustees and sponsors to get to grips with, but we are running out of time. So just to end with, can you briefly summarise the key takeaways for those thinking about approaching the market, say next year and beyond?
Well, firstly, and very quickly, and I'm not going to labour this point, it's very commonly made and for good reason, but you do need to be prepared. Secondly, try and get as much certainty as you can as to where you are on your journey to buyout, and that includes insurer pricing if you can. You really might be surprised as to how close you actually are. And finally, even if you're doing a buy-in, have the end goal, which for most will ultimately be buyout, in mind. So ensure your deal structure accommodates your road plan and your long-term objectives stretch beyond the initial buy-in.
A couple from me. I mean, I'd start with not waiting to hear from consultants that buy-in pricing is great before you start preparing for a buy-in. I mean, it can take about two to three months to get an invitation to quote ready to come out to the market. And by that time, that keen pricing that you were hearing the market is offering from consultants could have disappeared by then. So be ready to act, have your scheme ready. Another one from me, I guess the last one, is having lots of insurers to engage with your auction process isn't the be-all and end-all of carrying out a successful transaction. As long as you've got a clear and rational price target, a transaction can be carried out with even one insurer if that target price is achieved. I mean, what trustees really need to do is have conviction behind any kind of hurdle pricing or target pricing that they've developed with their consultancies and be willing to transact if that is met.
Okay, Pete Prush, thank you very much for this overview, and thank you all for joining us.